Ken, can you mute?
He is muted right now.
You know, despite the fact that it's a nice rack, we can't get the...
How big is your car, Ken?
I'm having a real difficult time in...
Yeah, so when you have your balls rolling around, Mike...
The problem is much more serious than this. If you listen to Mike Ostertag...
Ken, can you mute?
You're listening to The Crossing Gate, the official podcast of the Twin Cities Division of the National Model Railroad Association. The topics and discussions are about the world's greatest hobby, model railroading. Here are your hosts, Thomas Gaisier and Ken Zeska.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Crossing Gate podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by Ken Zeska.
Hello, friends.
Ken Borowski.
Hi, everybody.
Joe Binnish.
Good evening.
And Mike Jordan.
Hello.
And we are going to discuss operation and improvement on a cog railway. So I'll throw this over to you, Ken Borowski. What are ways that you would improve operations on a cog railway?
Well, on my layout, I've got a bunch of different interchanges and stuff. And I was thinking about, you know, because I do model the Blue Ridge Mountain. So I was going to add a cog railway to my southern interchange. And I was just wondering if, you know, you guys are pretty knowledgeable and stuff. Because I was thinking a 37% grade, but I'm thinking maybe 35% might be a little bit more doable. You know, once you push the cars over the top of the hill for the interchange, you know, what happens when they never come back? It's like it's only a one-way interchange.
Does that inspire you to build more cars then?
Well, you know, Bachman's got this MW9 steamer coming out that I'm kind of been looking at because, you know, I modeled the 70s, but, you know, a cog railway is kind of cool. So I figure I might go steam. But I was just curious because I know on your split rock railroad, you use the magnetic coupling system with the magnets under the track. I was just curious, if you're going up a 37% grade and you go over one of those magnets, is that going to have an issue with the cars or not, you know, rolling down the hill? Or, you know, what do you do about that?
Yeah, I have had issues a few times. Now I've got helper service, so I put an engine, cog engine on each end. Okay. So when they come loose, they just roll into the other engine and they keep pushing when they get to the top. It's helped out a lot.
Well, like one of my thoughts, too, was... You know, the Clinchfield's got a bunch of tunnels, so they don't really run double stacks. But if I can, you know, run like a double stack train up the side of the mountain and over the top, then that kind of takes the whole tunnels out of play.
But oh, yeah.
How do you keep a container on the lower one when you're going up a 37% grade, I guess, would be another question for anybody out there that knows.
Yeah, about maybe magnets and stuff. Now yeah. Mike Jordan, How would you do your reefer business on the side of a mountain on a 37% grade?
I don't have any reefer industries on my cog railroad, but I do have a bowling ball manufacturing firm. I'm having a real difficult time in packing and bracing those bowling balls as the cog railroad goes up and down. There's a tremendous amount of noise and damage to the inside of the boxcar. So I'm trying to come up with a way to pack them in there so that they don't damage the equipment.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than loose balls. Yeah, we don't want that. I mean, I guess if you have a foam factory or something on your layout, you can pack the cars with foam. I don't know.
That's what the carrot seeds are for. Fellas, Mike, what you need to do is have your industries work together so you can pack the bowling balls in sacks of carrot seeds.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll be able to, you know, that car will get double duty, right?
Yeah, I can cushion the bowling balls with carrot seeds. I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. That would be good. That would be good.
Because no one likes to have loose balls.
No, well, rolling around all over the place. No.
Like Joe, I have a question for you, Joe, because like you do a lot of custom painting and stuff. So, right. Like, if I get this Bachman steamer for this cog railway, this MW9, I mean, would I want to put the name on the side of the local, like, even, or do I want to put it on a 37% angle. So when it goes up the side of the mountain, the name's actually straight. Or do I put it on there straight?
It doesn't matter, Ken. It doesn't matter as long as it's plumb.
Oh, okay.
So you can do either way. Or, you know, what you might want to do is shorten the name. So instead of the full Borowski Southern, just do BS and have one where it's, you know, after Loco was on flat ground and then one canted at 37 degrees, maybe on each end of the tender.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
So it would be BS and then BS on an angle.
Okay.
Ah, interesting.
Tom, I have a question. Maybe the guys can help me.
Yeah.
So the Central Minnesota's Cog Railway, we have a real problem with interchange power. You know, you bring cars over, that's fine, but we want to have run-throughs. The gear ratio or the gear teeth on the interchange railroads is different than the rack that we have on our railroads. So, you know, despite the fact that it's a nice rack, we can't get the locomotives to work because the gear teeth are different. What do you guys do about that?
Here's what I've done is I've gone to all Tyco engines and I take the little clip that's on the bottom of the trucks off. So all the gears are exposed.
Oh,
and then the ones that don't fall out usually help you get up the top with the interchange cars of auto racks, reefers, and bowling balls.
So, well, you do know that Tyco is the name in Cog Railway, so I assume they would have the answer to any question we have. I think it's on their website. You could probably look that up, too. But
can you re-gear them to match the correct gear ratio? Because, you know, I've got a bunch of Cotto and Atheron Genesis, and I don't want to have to spend a lot of money doing this on my Cog Railway. So do you have a lot of experience with this on the BNS? I'm sorry, the BS, Ken?
Yeah, we use Loke Sound because it's got this one app you can put on there, and it comes out with like people screaming when they're going down the hill, even though you know the cogs slow them down, but they don't realize it until they've started screaming already. So that's a neat feature on the decoder. I think it's like an F11. You know, you have to push F11.
Is it like when you go up on a roller coaster, it's kind of the clink 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 clink?
Yeah. Then you reach the top, and everybody puts their hands up, and
yeah, woo!
So, Mr. Zeska, we'll go to you, the king of S-scale Cog Railways. And how do you handle industries on the Minnesota Prairie Line there?
Actually, in S-scale, the problem is much more serious than this. If you listen to Mike Ostertag's whine, no, that's not the right word. Anyway, because we have scale and high rail in S-scale, the question really becomes, how deep are your cogs? And so you have high rail cogs and you have scale cogs, and scale cogs, of course, will not go on the high rail cogs, and high rail cogs will not get into the teeth of the scale cogs. And so there's an incompatibility issue that is extremely serious. And, you know, S-scalers have been arguing about this scale and high rail cog issue for probably 50 years, maybe 60. It's an incredible rift in the S-scale marketplace. People say, oh, you either have big cogs or go home, you know?
How big is your cog, Ken?
Get out of here. Another people
I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah. Oh, well.
It's not the size of the gear. It's the power of the no, never mind. That's another story.
So, Mike, you think 70 tonners would be a great example of a cog railway to use? Because what do you think they'll come out with first? A museum quality 70 tonner or a museum quality cog railway engine? Which one do you think they're going to make first?
No doubt it'll be museum quality cog locomotive. No one's interested in making a GE 70 tonner. They are looking at putting 12-inch wheels on one end and 36-inch wheels on the other. That way you don't have to worry about redoing the frame.
What do you do when you go around the turntable at the top and then you're coming down with the bigger wheel on the back end and the tiner one on the front? Doesn't that change the...
Well, now you're not at 37 degrees anymore. You're at about 46 degrees.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I guess you don't want to have a turntable.
No, or a Y.
Yeah, that's true too, yeah.
Or a balloon track.
So now we're getting into layout planning here too. So, wow.
Exactly.
So a lot to think about on this cog railway stuff.
Well, so do the cars have to be angled and the cabooses, and you know, how do the couplers work? Do they have oversized couplers like in that other scale, or do they
They've got true scale all the way, true scale.
Okay.
Or XF2s.
Cog railway couplers.
Yeah. So what do you think about kit bashing something different than the normal cog engine? What if, could you kit bash a big boy into a cog railway engine?
But remember, the issue with a boiler is you've got to keep water on the heat shield.
So that's true. The
big boy would only be able to go up one way, because otherwise the water would all go off the top of the boiler and the thing would explode.
That's why they put the light on the back, so they could back down then, right? Is that why they put those lights on the back?
Well, yeah. That's why you have a tender behind, Ken.
Yeah.
Okay.
That hurt.
I like that idea.
That's pretty good. Does anybody else have any input on the cog railway that you could, bit of advice? We'll go around the horn one more time. Mike, what advice would you give to someone who wants to add operations to their cog railway?
Limit your industries to those that don't require a flat and level floor.
I think that's some solid advice. Joe?
Well, you know, being the freight car guy, I would say that you need to really understand how the brakes work on the cog railway and be able to explain, you know, to the modelers how you added the air lines and the cut levers and the air hoses at the end of your cog railway cars.
Ah, very cool. Very cool. Mr. Zeska, what's a bit of advice you would have?
Well, the bit of advice I have is as an S-scaler is, you need to embrace whatever size of the hobby, whatever niche you're in. Don't get hung up on the size of your cogs and your gears. Enjoy the hobby for what it is. Be creative. Let your cogs go free.
Good advice. Oh, and Mr. Nice. Borowski?
Well, I would say to use code 100 track, because then you're going to get the oversized ties and stuff, which will help hold the ballast in when you try to ballast on the grade like that. Because otherwise, it's all going to just spill over the side and just, it'll be an avalanche. So, you know, the bigger the rail, the bigger the ties, you know, the bigger the cog. It's kind of what everybody is going for, you know, big cogs.
Is that what the guys who has big shoes?
That's what they say, big shoes, big cogs.
Exactly.
Or Mike's industry down there, the bowling ball factory. They're the largest bowling balls made, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I just don't let Joe paint them blue.
No, plum.
Plum, damn it.
Yeah, Joe's kind of a caveman. His bowling and golf scores are the same.
Yes, they are.
And then when last time we took him bowling, we, you know, gave him a ball. He goes, what are the holes for? So, okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you next time. And everyone, we'll say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Really? No sponsor? What do you mean, no sponsor? What about my skills? What about my fans? I have 55 million fans on Instagram. How many fans does your podcast have? 9? That's it? Oh, sorry. You've been listening to The Crossing Gate, the official podcast of the Twin Cities Division. You can find us on Facebook in our group, the Twin Cities Division of the NMRA. You can email us at tcdnmra@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe for future podcasts.